This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry this week. Vancouver, British Columbia. Not enough time in the spotlight, I guess. Not only hosting the 2010 Games, of course, but has also come in on top in a global survey of livability. Vancouver, the world's most livable city. That's according to a new survey that's out assessing living conditions in 140 cities around the world. A rating of relative comfort is assigned across five broad categories: stability and healthcare, culture and the environment, education and infrastructure. John Copestake is the editor of this Global Livability Report, which he conducted with The Economist magazine's Economist Intelligence Unit. John, good morning.
Morning.
We're going to get to the winners and the losers, I suppose, in just a second. But those five categories, tell us, how do you calculate livability? What does that really mean?
Well, what we do is we have correspondents in each city, and we score a number of indicators within each category. So, for example, in stability, we will score violent crime, the threat of unrest, factors like that. And these scores are all assigned individual weights, and then we come up with an index based on an overall score out of 100. So 100 is seen as perfect, and 0 is seen as intolerable. And Vancouver came up with 98, which is pretty close to the top.
They sure did. So we're talking about the winners, Vancouver at the top. And you go down, it's really Australia, New Zealand, and Canada who've done the best. Vienna, Australia is number 2. I'm going down the list now. Melbourne, Australia, Toronto, Calgary. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Vienna is in Austria.
What did I say?
Australia.
Oh, okay. Quick geography lesson for Todd Zwillick. Vienna, Austria, Melbourne, Australia, Toronto, Calgary, Helsinki on down the list. The rest in Australia or New Zealand. Auckland rounds out the list. Is there anything common that these cities have at the top? You mentioned one of the categories is healthcare. Now, this has to be apart from whether or not the country has good healthcare. This is like access to a hospital in your neighborhood.
Yeah, we have city-specific and national indicators for healthcare. Generally speaking, they'll be nationally set anyway. So, given cities in a country will probably perform quite similarly. It's just things like private healthcare, public healthcare. I do have a theory about why Australian and Canadian cities come at the top.
Please.
You notice that cities in countries with relatively low population densities,
yes,
tend to do well. I think that's because they have good communications infrastructure because of the distance between cities. But also the cities aren't overburdened in the same way as larger cities might be. So you'll have less crime, less sort of pressure on infrastructure, for example, transport and congestion, and those things make a city more livable.
Now, talk about congestion and pollution. Give us a sense of the bottom of the list, if you would.
At the bottom of the survey, we have some cities which probably are in the press for the wrong reasons. Places like Harare in Zimbabwe and Dhaka in Bangladesh. But the main problem with these locations is more about stability. Instability tends to mean that other areas like infrastructure tend to fall down as well.
Infrastructure falls down. Pollution a factor. I've been in some of these cities. Unbelievably crowded. Dakar, Senegal, wonderful place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there, to be perfectly frank.
No, I agree.
Just crowded and polluted, really.
Yes. I mean, you find that in a lot of African countries and Asian countries as well, I guess.
All right, John Copestake, editor of the Livability Survey for the Economist Intelligence Unit, the top 10 most livable cities in the nation and the bottom 10. Well, the crown goes to Vancouver, as though they haven't had enough attention this week. Not only, go for the games, stay for everything else.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.